Rat Pack, where you at?
What's going on? It's the FTN Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is Jeff Rackliff, and it is Tuesday, September 12th. Week one in the books. What a wild week it was. Week two upon us, and it is time for the waiver wire on the show today. We'll break down all of the waiver wire ads, some players who I think it is safe to drop, some players who I'm holding on to, and then your top defensive streamers of the week. Don't want to beat around the bush, but should say, if you don't have a drop, don't make a drop. If there's nobody on your roster who you can drop, don't make a drop. You don't need to pick up players every single week. If you don't have a player on your roster to drop, don't make a drop. This is why I hate short bench leagues. If you have four bench spots, chances are you don't have anybody to drop this week. That really inhibits the skill of the better players. And it makes the league a little bit more luck-based. So that is the argument against it. I know the old man fantasy folks out there, the angry fantasy guys, love short benches, but they really put a cap on the skilled player. Also, you don't have to pick up every week. Be careful here. Don't get out ahead of yourself too much because it was only 1 week of football. But let's dive into it. I will say this, my cutoff line, I use Yahoo and ESPN, and it's 70% rostered. If you're above that, then, well, I'm not going to include you in the waiver column. However, I know there are leagues where Brandon Ayuk is available, or George Pickens, or somebody like that. If guys like that are out there, yes, they're ahead of everybody who I'm about to mention, and I would go 25 to 50% on that type of player. There is not a 50 to 100% fab guy this week, and I will give those recommendations. If you're just in waiver order, just use the rankings as they are. These are also available over at ftnfantasy.com, promo code RATPACK for 10% off. But I'll give you my fab recommendations. However, I'm giving you a range. You got to know your leagues as well. Some leagues may be a little bit more conservative in terms of bidding. Other leagues more aggressive. Know your league and then cater your bids accordingly. The top player this week for me is Puka Nacua. 20 to 25%. Now, why is he not a 50-plus percent after having 15 targets in week one and catching 10 balls for 119 yards? Well, those targets will evaporate if/when Cooper Kupp comes back. Nacua has obviously assumed that role for Matthew Stafford, and he was pretty impressive, don't get me wrong, but Cooper Kupp is next level. So there may be a shelf life on him. That's why I'm not going overboard. I have a trio of running backs up next: Tyler Algier, Kenny Gainwell, Kyren Williams. Technically, that's the order I have them in, but you can always create your own order too. Remember, it's your fantasy team, so do with it what you want. You know, you are in control here. I'm going 15 to 20% on all of them. Why do I have Algier first? Well, he was used in a full-blown timeshare with Bijan Robinson, and I don't see that going anywhere. And by the way, if you drafted Bijan, don't worry. He's a souped-up Cordero Patterson in that offense, and we saw times where Cordero Patterson in the last couple seasons was a top-shelf RB1, and Bijan's better. The moral of the story, Algier has moved into flex conversation, may even be better than that, because this team's going to run the football a lot, and I'll talk about the impact on the passing game later in the show. Kenny Gainwell, yes, he's a little banged up with a ribs issue, but he was clearly the lead back. Played 38 snaps, 17 for DeAndre Swift, 8 for Boston Scott. Of course, Rashad Penny wasn't even active. So for now, Gainwell's in the lead. I don't know if that stays, but he is a priority. Kyren Williams, obviously 15 to 20% as well. Here's the thing. Not only did he outplay Akers, he significantly outsnapped. He doubled him up in snaps. In a game where they were winning most of the game. 52 snaps for Williams, 26 for Akers. Yikes for Akers. Kendrick Bourne, 10 to 15%, led the team in targets, 11, routes run, 52. And Belichick talked him up in the preseason. Sometimes Belichick isn't throwing us curveballs. Romeo Doubs, that's another player who was dropped, by the way, fairly widely. Now, the thing about it was no Christian Watson. They also, it was a blowout, a surprise blowout. But 10 to 15%, Jordan Love has eyes for Doubs, and I don't think it's a coincidence that there were two touchdowns from Love to Doubs in this game. Watson back will put a cap on Doubs, but he should be rostered. Joshua Kelly, 10 to 12%. Yes, Austin Eckler's a little dinged up. We won't get a full sense of what this injury is. It seems like a low ankle because he played through it during the course of the game. And if that's the case, he could play this week. But we're going to have to see practice reports regardless of the evaluation of Eckler's injury. Kelly was used heavily. 16 carries, 91 yards, and a score. And let's not forget, Kellen Moore used a two-back system last year with Tony Pollard and Ezekiel Elliott. Kelly is closer to the Ezekiel Elliott in this backfield. Justice Hill, 8 to 12%. Dobbins, obviously out for the season. That sucks. But don't go overboard. I think we're still going to see a full-blown committee. Now, Hill has a nice ceiling. That's why I prefer him the most out of this group, but I'm not spending a ton. Roschon Johnson, 8 to 10%. I said this on the podcast yesterday. It was a full-blown committee in that backfield. So don't just look at fantasy points. And by the way, don't sort by last week's fantasy points scored. Don't sort by this week's projected fantasy points to make your waiver wire claims. There's more to the story than just that. So I'm not going overboard, but I do love having Roschon Johnson on benches. Top tight end on the board for me might not be who you expect it to be. At number 10, I have Sam Laporta. 6 to 10%. I thought he looked excellent. Now, five catches, whatever. It wasn't a massive week. I mean, five catches is solid. All five targets he caught, he's going to be heavily involved this season. And this kid, we have yet to see what he's fully capable of. By the way, the rookie tight ends so far, I really liked the big name rookie tight ends in week one. Nico Collins, 6 to 10%. He was CJ Stroud's favorite target. 10 targets for him, 15 air yards per target. And number 12, Gus Edwards, 6 to 10%. We know what Gus Edwards is at this point. Lower ceiling guy. He will be involved in the committee. As I mentioned, I'd rather have Hill, but it wouldn't, you know, there's a world where Edwards is the top option. I just don't love the ceiling with him. At 13, well, I love the ceiling with Rashid Shaheed. Five catches, 89 yards, and a score, but I'm not going overboard because he was behind Chris Olave in routes run and Michael Thomas in routes run and in targets. Olave, 10 targets, 8 for Thomas, 6 for Shaheed. Shaheed is a boomer bust player, and remember, when you have those guys, they can go bust as well. Speaking of boomer bust, Tutu Atwell, 6 to 10%. Not as much of a priority as Puka Nacua, but I thought, you know, it was really impressive that he was used around the field, and he out-targeted Van Jefferson 8 to 5. Hunter Henry, 6 to 10%. He was on the same page with Mac Jones. Five catches on six targets. Could have been six catches there at the end. 56 yards and a score. He's way ahead of Mike Gesicki, at least through week one. And maybe this is finally the Hunter Henry we thought we were going to get a couple years ago when he first came to New England. How about another rookie tight end? Luke Musgrave. Luke, 6 to 10%. Man, he had three catches for 50 yards. It could have been four catches. He was barely overthrown. It could have been like four catches for 100 and something and a touchdown. The sky's the limit. He also led the Packers total, the entire team in routes run with 22. Darnell Mooney at 17, 6 to 10%. He did catch a touchdown. He still is behind DJ Moore. Don't worry about DJ Moore. It's an annual thing that we worry about DJ Moore after week one. Don't worry about DJ Moore. But Mooney should be on rosters. Jaylen Warren, 5 to 7%. Not only are we not dropping him, we should be adding him. Outsnapped by Najee, 32-24. But he had six targets, just two for Najee. Still like Jaylen Warren a lot. Jerome Ford, 5 to 7%. 15 touches for him, 22 for Nick Chubb. Now, he played four fewer snaps, but here's the indicator here. If Chubb went down, Ford would have some decent value. Like, not 100% of Chubb, obviously, but like 80 to 85%. Plus, he may have some independent value. And number 20, Robert Woods, 5 to 7%. I mentioned this on the pod yesterday. I'm not going to ignore 10 targets that tied for the team high with Nico Collins, though I would much rather have Nico Collins for his ceiling. But Robert Woods should be on rosters in, you know, regular size and deeper leagues for sure. Hayden Hurst, 5 to 7%. Got in the end zone, 8.4 air yards per target. It's not a big number on him, so somewhat limited upside. But, you know, if your tight end wire is picked over, I don't hate it. His teammate, Jonathan Mingo, 3 to 5% at number 22 on the list. Ran 36 of a possible 38 routes for the Panthers. His fantasy numbers don't pop, but I'm not worried about that in week one. Josh Reynolds at 23, 3 to 5%. He was the number two option for Jared Goff in week one. Seven targets. Certainly in deep leagues, he should be rostered, and I guess in regular size leagues if it's a little picked over. Logan Thomas, 3 to 5%. Eric Bieniemy's offense, as we thought, is target rich for tight ends and Thomas in particular. He had four catches, 43 yards, but eight targets. Speaking of Jared Goff, who I just talked about, well, I have a trio of three quarterbacks here in one quarterback leagues. These guys are going to be rostered in super flex, but in one quarterback leagues, they may be able to help you out if you lost Aaron Rodgers, if you didn't really draft well at the position. Jared Goff, Derek Carr, Jordan Love. Now, Goff and Carr have higher floors. Jordan Love has a higher ceiling, but a much lower floor. So, you know, kind of pick and choose your battles there. That's the order I have them in. But again, it's your team. You can put them in the order you like. Tajay Spears, 1-3%. He did outsnap Derrick Henry, 33-28, but Derrick Henry outtouched him 18-4. We're going to see a role for Spears, and, you know, the kid's got some pop to him. And then, of course, if Henry went down, then all of a sudden you're sitting on something really nice. Allen Robinson, 1-3%. Now, Deontay Johnson is going to miss some time with a hamstring injury. That puts Robinson into the fantasy conversation in deeper leagues. 44 routes run, was second to only George Pickens on the team, and did actually have 5 catches for 64 yards. It wasn't terrible there whatsoever. Zay Jones. All right, Calvin Ridley is dominating the workload, at least so far. But in 11 personnel, not Christian Kirk, Zay Jones ran 32 routes, 22 for Kirk, 1-3% on him. 1-3% on Jaden Reed. Blazing fast, man. This kid can fly. 5 targets, caught 2 of them for 48 yards, but bigger days are potentially ahead. And these are the deeper league guys I'd love to stash. Rashee Rice, 1-3%. Looked really good in his pro debut. I mean, he is just a stash at this point. Ran behind Marquez Valdez-Scantling, Sky Moore, Richie James. But deep league stash, I don't have an issue with it. Zach Moss, 1-3%. Evan Hull's going to miss some time. So Moss is almost certainly going to be back this week, and he will be back to the lead back. The run game does not look particularly good, though, so I'm not going to get too crazy here. Plus, Jonathan Taylor's murky future hangs in the balance. A couple tight ends, Jake Ferguson, Zach Ertz. Both of these guys saw heavy work. Ferguson, 7 targets. Ertz, 10. 1-3% on these guys. Their volume plays in deeper leagues. Some super flex quarterbacks, if they weren't drafted, they all should be rostered now. And really deep leagues, I guess, one quarterback leagues, they could be rostered. Brock Purdy, Mac Jones, Sam Howell. Purdy doesn't have a massive ceiling, but a really good floor. Mac Jones actually showed a decent ceiling. Just could be a bumpy ride this season. But he went up over 300 passing yards in week one. Sam Howell's got that dual threat ability, but let's see how he performs against a defense that isn't the Cardinals this week. He's got a much tougher test against Denver. KJ Osborne, 1-2%. Actually the number 2 receiver in terms of routes. He was well ahead of Jordan Addison, so I think he deserves a roster spot. Josh Downs, 7 targets. I mean, Alec Pierce only saw 3, so 1-2% on him. Calvin Austin, 1%. He's going to get some more work here. Actually caught all 6 of his targets for 37 yards, but with no Deontay Johnson, he'll get out there. Kayshon Boutte, 1%. Yes, I am recommending a guy who had 0 catches, 0 fantasy points in week 1. He was 2nd on the Patriots in routes run with 41. That was 15 more than Juju Smith-Schuster or DeMario Douglas. Deeper leagues, I'm taking that into account. Melvin Gordon, 1%. He's expected to be signed to the 53-man roster. He is in play in deeper leagues. And I know this because John Harbaugh basically said that. A couple more tight ends here. Kylan Granson, Adam Trautman, Durham Smythe. Decent volume with all of these guys. Granson's the top tight end in Indy. Trautman looks like he will be for a little while with Greg Dulcich slated to miss time. And Durham Smythe had 7 targets in that explosive offense. 3 for 44 for him, but sneaky. All right, deep super flex. And by the way, Purdy, Jones, Howell is 10 to 20% in super flex. These two guys are 5 to 10%, Baker Mayfield and Zach Wilson. Mayfield, it was good on the field, but 173 passing yards, not crazy. 2 scores, all right. He should be rostered in, you know, 12-team super flex. Zach Wilson, all starting quarterbacks should be rostered in 12-team Superflex, and he is now a starting quarterback because of Aaron Rodgers is done for the season. That's cruel. It's just cruel. 4 plays, man, that stinks. But it's not going to be great with Zach Wilson, but he should at least be rostered. All right, so here's some players that I am holding going forward. Drake London, I don't care about the fantasy goose egg. With guys like that, if I'm drafting them to be a wide receiver too, or like, you know, top 24 guy, et cetera, at their position, I'm going to give them a couple weeks, not just one game. I'm going to give them 4 weeks or so. I know that can be very hard to do in a fantasy season, but that's what I'm doing. Same thing with his teammate Kyle Pitts. And if you do not think that Kyle Pitts is worth holding on to, pull up the tape of his second reception from Sunday. That's all. And by the way, if you don't like Kyle Pitts, guess what? Here's what you do in the future. Don't draft him. If you don't like players, don't draft those players. No matter what's going to happen, you're going to be miserable if you draft players who you don't like. Just don't draft them. Just don't draft them. It's your team. You shouldn't be miserable. I'm going to draft him, though. Treylon Burks. He only had the two catches, but he did lead the Titans in routes run with 34. Same with his teammate Chigakonkwo, not dropping him. He had a goose egg. Better days are ahead. Antonio Gibson. Don't drop Antonio Gibson. Yes, he didn't do much. It wasn't an Antonio Gibson game script. Quentin Johnston, he's behind Josh Palmer, but I'm going to give him a little bit of time here. Geno Smith, yeah, it was a really surprise performance. I'm willing to see him out for a few games. If this is the old Geno coming back, then all right, we'll cut him loose in a couple weeks, but not yet. And in deeper leagues, has to be a deeper league, but I am going to hold on to Donovan Peoples-Jones in those deeper leagues. He actually ran five more routes than Amari Cooper. Here are players I'm willing to cut. If you happen to have Cam Akers or DeAndre Swift, and you're looking at some of the top guys at running back, I'm willing to cut them. Now, only if it's the top guys. I'm not cutting them for, like, Melvin Gordon, certainly. But even, like, you know, Zach Moss, no. Jerome Ford, no. Jaylen Warren, no. I'm going to hold on to them for right now and see what we have. I know, it's wild. J.K. Dobbins, Aaron Rodgers, they're out for the season. Devin Singletary, he was behind not only Damian Pierce, but Mike Boone in snaps with just 15 this past week. Taysom Hill played 8 snaps in week 1. Trey McBride, Zach Ertz is back, and Trey McBride is not going to be used. Marvin Mims was 4th on the Broncos in wide receivers in snaps. That's not going to change when Jerry Jeudy comes back. Rashad Penny, healthy scratch. Isaiah Hodgins, Darius Slayton, Paris Campbell. Until Daniel Jones proves he can move the ball through the air, I don't want any piece of the Giants wideouts. Marvin Jones, he was at the bottom of the pecking order. Adam Thielen, same thing. These two veterans can go. Damian Harris, he gone. Played behind James Cook and Latavius Murray. And then two tight ends, Greg Dulcich, who I mentioned is hurt, and Isaiah Likely. Not likely to start for me if Mark Andrews doesn't play this week again. That was ugly. All right, defense. If you happen to have these defenses, you don't need to make a move. San Francisco, Dallas, the Jets, the Eagles, the Bills, or the Saints. If you have any of them, you're good. If you have any of these other defenses, here's what I'm going to recommend. If you have one, stick with it. You don't need, if you have the defense that's ranked 11th, you don't need to pick up the defense that's ranked 9th. The difference between those two is marginal, and really all we're worried about is picking on bad quarterbacks. So there isn't necessarily a wrong answer here. But I like Cleveland a lot. Defense looked really good, and going up against Kenny Pickett and his mistakes, I like that this week. The Giants against Arizona, we're starting defenses against Arizona until further notice. Both sides of the Denver-Washington matchup. Denver looked pretty good on the defensive side of the ball. They get to face Sam Howell. And then on the other side, Washington, I mean, Sean Payton wasn't able to turn around Denver's lackluster offense. Tampa versus Chicago. I actually thought the Tampa defense looked very good against Minnesota. And you can pick on Justin Fields a little. And then if you're really scraping the bottom of the barrel, Indianapolis and Houston, both sides. Neither defense is good, but we're going up against a rookie quarterback on both sides of this matchup, and that is something I want to take advantage of for sure. So, and by the way, don't overspend on defenses like 1% of fab. Put a couple defenses in if you think one is going to be taken. You don't have to go overboard on your team defense ads. Don't waste your fab money there. All right, some final words of wisdom as we head into this first waiver run. If you are uncertain of a player, and I did not mention that player, you can use rankings to make a decision, though I don't want to get far ahead of myself and drop a player who shouldn't be dropped. If you have some questions, you can use the rankings, though, over at FTNFantasy.com. They're usually up later on Tuesday afternoons. FTNFantasy.com, promo code RATPACK for 10% off. Of course, I am at Jeff Ratcliffe on Twitter. And tomorrow, we're going to break the seal on rankings for week 2. Week 2 already coming at us here. So I will catch you on the flip side for another edition of the pod. I'm Jeff Ratcliffe, and I'm out.